Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Joining me right now is Alan May. Love having Alan on. It's been a while, actually, since we've had Alan on. But the Caps just completed their best regular season in many years, finishing with the best overall record in the Eastern Conference. At Alan May underscore 16 on X on Twitter. Of course, Alan's been a part of the studio show and part of the booth with Joe B, especially when Locker was out. So good that Locker is back and healthy again at Monumental Sports. Alan's been a part of it for ever now, it seems like. It's good to have you back. The season was a phenomenal one, but I want to start with something that I just mentioned, just the odds on the Caps making a deep Stanley Cup run. What do the odds makers know that others don't?
I would say what they're seeing is they're not willing to admit how wrong they were the way they forecasted the Caps just for the regular season.
Right.
When you look at it, most people had the Caps as a draft lottery team and not making the playoffs, and they're sticking to it. So, you know, I guess that's the easy way to do it, but you know, they were all so wrong. Everyone was wrong on how they picked the Caps to, you know, to do this season. And the Caps have just proved with the management team and the coaching staff they'd assembled that they made all the right choices in the offseason. And, you know, it panned out. They end up being the Eastern Conference leading team.
So you disagree with the odds makers. Tell me why you think they've got a chance to make a deep Stanley Cup run.
Well, the biggest thing, I just look at the body of work over the course of the season. I'm going to take that they clinched the playoffs basically 2 months ago.
Right.
And they were involved in every single game. I thought opening night was kind of a dud with them. I don't think they had the line assembled properly that night. And then right from game two, they went on and on and on. They were involved in every single game except maybe two until about the 60-game mark. Like, actually every period. They had the most comebacks in the National Hockey League. They were never out of a game. They were always in. I think they were a little bit exhausted. And once they clinched, it's like they've got it. And basically, they had a four-game winning streak about 15 games ago. And since then, you know, the record hasn't been that great. But then again, it's kind of like an in-season break that they were taking. And, you know, they took their foot off the pedal a little bit. And, you know, we've seen what happens when you win the President's Trophy over the course of a season. So I just think it's just a matter of, you know, they were so involved in every game, they're a little bit exhausted, and I expect them to come out firing in game one of the playoffs.
Do you think some of it was just everybody getting consumed with Ovi's chase?
You know, I actually discount that because that's all that people spoke about before the season, all the Capitals just going out there, and it was kind of a disservice and a disrespect from so many people around the National Hockey League as to Ovechkin being a selfish player, as to the Caps being a horrible roster. And I just think that at the end, because a little bit of fatigue, and it was mostly the big guys who they started to stumble in their numbers. But at the same time, you know, you had little nagging injuries pop up. When you're involved in every game, it's like being involved in every playoff game. There is a toll that it takes. But I've always believed it's better to have that lull when they had it versus right at the end and so exhausted and fatigued going into the first round of the playoffs that they got nothing left. And I would say that's what happened last year. They were so dialed in the last month to get in the playoffs that by the time the playoffs, that game one, they just had nothing left. And so I think that happened a lot sooner because they could allow it to happen sooner.
Yeah, Montreal kind of in the same position the Caps were in at the end of last year. We'll get to that in a moment. I haven't talked to you in a while. Alex Ovechkin, 44 goals in 65 games. It's very likely had he played close to a full season, he would have been the leading goal scorer in the NHL. Why was he so good this year?
I look at the roster around him, and he didn't have to do too much. And the way he was playing, I thought he was a more efficient. And even at the start of the year, there were so many back checks and defensive plays that he was making, and his legs hadn't looked that good in 5 or 6 years. So how he rested himself during the offseason, how he got himself ready during the offseason when he decided to start training, I don't think he was fatigued coming into the season. As you get older, it's harder to keep that playing weight. It's harder to keep your playing legs. And he just was so dialed in. And when he broke his leg, I think we'd be, well into the 900s right now in the goal scoring department. I really felt that the rate he was going, he was going to break that record in January. So I just feel like it was a commitment to the team for himself to be better, to be better in all areas. But they had such a better supporting cast this year, a team that was very, very big. At the start of the season, I believe they're the second largest team in the National Hockey League. And all the additions, with the exception of Andre Mangiapane, were 6'2 or greater. So I just think playing big guy hockey, it was easier for them to play and easier for him to play and not have to be counted on so much. And then you had the breakthrough season of a Protas breakthrough season by McMichael, and all these other players are 13 players that had career highs on the Capitals of their 18 regular skaters this year. That's astronomical. And I don't think a team has ever hit it with every trade and every free agent as the Caps did this offseason. So, once again, a way better roster. He didn't have to try to do too much. They didn't have to put him in a lot of situations that he shouldn't be in and, run him down of fatigue and wear him out. He could just focus on playing a positional game and just executing when called upon to score goals.
Do you sense heading into this postseason, it's been 7 years since the Cup. They haven't won a playoff series since winning the Cup. We know how much of a weight was lifted from his shoulders when they won it in Game 5 in Vegas back in 2018. You could just sense it with him, when that clock ran out and him screaming at the top of his lungs. Is there any pressure rebuilding on his shoulders to go deep and contend and maybe win another one?
I would say the pressure is internal for every player on the team, because those players that were here that won it and players that have won it anywhere, it's like a drug, and they want to feel that feeling again. And no one can explain the exhilaration of winning and what it does to your body with that surge of adrenaline. And they all want to get that feeling again. And for someone that was doubted for so long in North America that he wanted to win, that there was so much Russian bias by old-time NHL people, and I've even heard it in the last month that where people didn't want him to break Gretzky's record because he was a Russian, and they were players. There were the people that, when the Russians used to come over, they were hell-bent on eliminating them from the ice. So I just think that he loves to win. He finally got a chance with a perfectly assembled team from management, coaching staff, and I feel like he's got the feeling, again, that he has that same type of team here. Now you've got to go up and prove it in the playoffs. But they all want to feel it. It never goes away. Every player wants to, any player that's ever been around winning wants to achieve that over and over.
All right, let's talk about this first round matchup. How do they match up against Montreal?
Oh, I think it's a great matchup for the Washington Capitals. And the fact that they're a big team. And they're playing the youngest team ever in the National Hockey League class, according to something that I've heard in the last few days. They've got twice as much playoff experience. The Capitals are huge down the middle of the ice with their centermen. Dylan Strome, 6'3", Dubois, 6'4", Lars Eller, 6'2", 6'3". Nick Dowd, he's telling me 6'2", so I'm going to believe him. But when you And when you have that up and down the middle, you can take away the ice. Montreal likes to play a faster game, and they're depending on a very small young defenseman in Lane Hudson, who shattered all Montreal rookie records and a lot of NHL defenseman records with what he was able to do by putting numbers up this year. But to play without the puck against a younger team, they're going to force the Canadiens to play defense. And they've got a great goaltender, Samuel Montembeau, but I do not think that he is going to steal a series from the Capitals. And the Capitals, depending on where their health is, that's going to be the biggest factor. How healthy are they going into the playoffs? And once they set their mind to it, I think they can eliminate Montreal pretty quick using size, veteran accountability, and then forcing them to play in their own defensive zone, where in the last couple weeks, it's been Montreal on the press, Montreal on the press. They haven't played in their zone so well, and they open up a lot of high-danger opportunities. And I think analytically, the Caps are going to figure out how to play against them to create the offense inside the offensive zone and force Montreal into making mistake after mistake.
They haven't been back to the postseason since appearing in the finals during the COVID year. You just mentioned their goaltender. Just tell me that he's not the equivalent of like a Halak, you know, a Halak in 2010.
Well, it's a completely different team as well. So I look at the Halak thing, and I think a lot of the coaching at the time between the two teams, the drastic difference, and there was a defensive genius with Montreal, and they were countering on the Capitals a lot. And I didn't think the Caps played hard enough in front of Halak. He saw so many of the pucks. This Capitals team knows their best when they're creating goals from behind the goal line, where they're finding open players in the slot with one and then a second player joining at the net front. So they take away the vision of the goaltender. So 15 years ago, there was only one Montreal Canadian player from that team that's still in the National Hockey League, and that's Max Pacioretty, who's on the outside looking in right now. And a young John Carlson was around, but Alexander Ovechkin was basically the only Capital in that series. So 15 years ago, I don't think we're going to get Halak. I don't think we're going to get Montembeau.
Right.
And I just look at the drastically different teams that are put on the ice here.
All right. Speaking of goaltending, Logan Thompson missed the last seven games. This is always important this time of year. Are you confident that he's healthy, ready to go, and that he can be, you know, a big-time factor in a run this time of year?
Well, impossible to answer right now because he has not been even on the bench yet. And there's a long time till the series actually starts.
Right.
You've got to get him in real practices. And, you know, you've got to be careful. You know, players, and I'm not saying this Logan's going to do this, but I know that I used to do it. I used to lie about my health at all times. And you've got to be very careful that when you put players back on the ice that they're 100%. I saw in the last little bit, one of the NHL teams had traded for some injured players, and they got them back in lineup, and they were hurt in the first period. So you got to err on the side of caution with the injuries. But with that being said, I really like the way Charlie Lindgren plays. The team has confidence in him. But so I look at it not being so goalie dependent. Neither of these two guys lets in funky goals. They stop what they're supposed to. They make big saves. But at the same time, the defenders in front have to dial down. So whether it's Logan or Charlie Lindgren starting in game one, the players have confidence in either one of these guys, and so do I. I think the biggest thing when LT gets back, he's got to be 100% healthy.
All right. It sounds like you really like them to get by Montreal. In the East, give me the matchup that you really don't want to see, if there is one.
Well, I'm not going to discount the Carolina Hurricanes, but I'd expect them to beat New Jersey, and I think the Capitals in a playoff series, if New Jersey were to win that, would be able to take them out handily using the size and everything we've spoken about. With Carolina, I think they'll stumbled onto something a few weeks ago, and that's they have to play them hard. And in the past, they played a little too much checkers with them, or chess, I should say. And I remember when they beat the Caps in seven, the Caps kept making the same mistakes over and over. And it was things that the coaching staff kept saying, do this, do this. And it was driving me crazy watching it. I thought the ground and pound game in front of their net and on their defenders is how you have to play them. Don't give them as much respect that they can do this and they can do that, so we have to do this defensively. And you can't really play your game on the heavy part of it. So I look at Carolina. But then when it gets later than that, the real thing is if they get out of the Metropolitan, then you've got to play, I think it's going to be Tampa or Toronto. And Toronto, to me, I picked them and the Caps all season long when both teams were healthy to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's not throwing shade at Tampa, who's got everything you want in a team, but there's something about the way the Toronto roster is constructed right now that it could be very hard to create offense. So if anyone is able to beat Tampa, they figured out how to get to the middle of the ice. And that's going to be bad news for anyone that plays that team.
Thanks for doing this. Hope you're well. Hope to see you soon. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Alan May, Caps Canadians game one tonight. I'm going to finish up the show when we come back with a local receiver who could be a steal on day three.